Hello, good evening and welcome everyone to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council Planning Committee. My name is Brendan McEwen and I will be chairing this meeting this evening. Just a couple of points before we start. If you have one of these things, could you switch it off or turn it on to mute, please? And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting during the debates? On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I have officers from the Law and Administration Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes, and I will indicate when there is 1 minute to go. Ward members are entitled to speak for up to 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, and it will be available and published on the Borough Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity as enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. So now we can begin the meeting, and the first item is the minutes of the last meeting.
Non-submitted tonight, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. And do we have any apologies?
We do. Apologies received from Councillor Cross, who is substituted tonight by Councillor Roy James, and also Councillor Gareth Jones, who is substituted by Councillor Beattie.
Okay, thank you very much. Declarations of members' interest or any lobbying on any of the applications? No? And delegated applications will be dealt with separately to members. So now we go to page 3 of the agenda, application number 22 Stoke 35886, land adjacent to number 1 Brazen Hill Lane, Horton, Stafford. So I'll ask the officer to start a presentation on that. Steve Owen, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. There's only one screen working, unfortunately, so we will have to rely on this one for the presentation. This is planning application 22 35886, after well, land adjacent to 1 Brazen Hill Lane. Planning permission is sought for a two-storey dwelling house. The application was previously discussed at the 9th of August Planning Committee. The committee voted to defer the application to clarify the site's ownership, and boundary. Concerns were raised due to the fence line with number 1 Brazen Hill Lane not matching the red line site boundary. So the first plan is a plan view which indicates the area of the development. It comprises an area of land adjacent to number 1 Brazen Hill Lane. The land includes incidental open space and a small area enclosed by a closed board fence. The applicant has signed Certificate A, declaring that they are the sole owner of the land within the Red Edge. The application's case officer has sought clarification and has received land registration land registry details which confirm the land ownership, as shown on the submitted location and site plan, is correct. This is an aerial view of the site. The area is again outlined in red. The site is set within a residential suburban area, which itself is within a sustainable settlement boundary of Horton. The photo plan shows the location of the following site photos. Image 1 shows it's looking northwards towards the site with number 1 Brazen Hill Lane on the right. And image 2 is looking south towards the rear of number 1 Brazen Hill Lane. The photo shows the boundary fence between the development site, which is on the right, and number 1 Brazen Hill Lane, which is on the left. This plan shows the submitted location plan, which with the site is outlined in red. The land registry details match this plan. Plan 2 shows the proposed site plan, which includes the proposed dwelling, the fence line, and the proposed parking provision. The plan shows a strip of open land to the west of the proposed dwelling and fence line, which would be retained. Plan 3 shows the proposed street scene, with number 1 Brazen Hill on the right and then the proposed dwelling on the left. And number 4 shows the proposed elevations and the floor plan. So, in summation of the officer's report, land registry details confirm the land ownership shown on the submitted plans is correct. The development is located within a sustainable settlement boundary of Horton and is therefore considered a sustainable location for additional houses. The proposal on balance is also considered acceptable in terms of its visual impact. The dwelling is informed by the size, scale and design of neighbouring dwellings. The proposed dwelling also follows the build lines along Brazen Hill Lane. The development is therefore considered sufficiently in keeping with the character and appearance of the area. There is nothing to suggest that the development site is defined as a protected area of open space. Land registry information shows that the land has been in the ownership of a domestic dwelling for several years. Due to the modest size of the site, it is not considered that the land has a high amenity value in the context of open space or ecology. The development is acceptable in terms of its impact on residential amenity and highways and access. Subject to the appropriate special area of conservation contribution being secured, the development's impact upon the Cannock Chase SAC would be secured. The planning application is therefore recommended for approval, subject to conditions, and the SAC contribution being secured via a legal agreement.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Application has been called in by Councillor Carter. I don't think we have any members of the public who wish to speak on this. No. Okay, non-registered anyway. Okay, so as we have no speakers or ward member wishing to speak, is there any councillors on the planning committee who wish to kick it off? Councillor Frank James?
I just might ask a question, because if you look at the site of the site, the picture of the site, you can put a picture of the site. Are we opening the gate here for number 2 to develop? Because that's all open green site, isn't it? Are we leaving ourselves open for a massive development on those corners?
So within the officer's report, they mentioned that the site which is proposed is large enough to contain a new dwelling whilst also retaining some visual separation and some openness along the road. Looking at that site next to number 2, I don't think you'd be able to achieve both a dwelling and some separation from the road.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Councillor Spencer.
I share Councillor James's concerns that other areas will be developed of a similar ilk, if not in Horton, then others we are opening a door to other sort of these kind of developments. I mean, you can just see there's other green spaces there below the St. Giles Crescent, I think, is it? I don't know. Right. 2 and 1. And yeah, by signing this through, would allow other areas to be unduly developed, in my opinion.
Okay. Councillor Kenny.
Yeah, my concerns are that when we have large scale developments come in front of us, and we are looking at the layout of the new housing estates and stuff, we always insist on open spaces to enhance life and the living down there, even whether or not they are actually used for recreational purposes or not. They are there initially to form a view and to look at. And I have concerns too that going to open can of worms, really, you know, with regards to development and any of the other spaces. It's quite, you know, well known that within the borough we do have people buying up these open green spaces and putting planning applications in. This will have an impact on you know, the environment setting, and I believe it should be reviewed.
Okay, so we have a legal view, first of all, please.
Just on the point of whether this sets a precedent for future applications, you have to judge each case on its own merits, and you can only judge the application before you. So if any future applications do come, they'd be judged on their own merits. You can't refuse this one because of the prospect of future applications. You've got to look at what impact this particular development would have at this time and consider whether it should be approved or refused.
If I may just ask a question, previous to it being purchased by the new owner, what was the classification of the land? Was it open space or protected? This was part of the garden to number one.
Yeah. So, the residential curtilage of number one is most likely limited to the enclosed area that you can see. Number one may have purchased the land, then it's the classification of the land use of that land may not be residential. So, I don't know if it's a question.
Because we have open space, don't we? And then we have public open space and we have protected open space. I just wondered where this one was previously.
I don't think it's any sort of former protected open space. I think what Steve's saying is possibly when those houses were built, that strip of land was clearly some sort of landscaping type strip which has subsequently been bought by number one and then sold off for the purposes of a new dwelling.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Roy-James?
Should the committee agree to allow this to go forward, could I just ask, if you look on page 12, information regarding the lamppost, which is also on page 13, but doesn't appear in the conditions. And if the committee was to allow this application to go through, I'd ask that condition be put into the application. It advises the applicant to do what it says it does, but it's not in the conditions.
Thank you.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, is that the informative?
Does it form part of the informative note that comes after the conditions?
Yeah, it's there in the documentation, but on the conditions, it's not listed there. The other two pieces of information that Highways came up with are in the conditions, but this one isn't.
So if you look at the informatives after the conditions,
yeah.
Informative 2, there is a note there about relocating the street light.
Yeah,
It's just simply an informative note to the applicant. We wouldn't condition that, it's just an informative that the County Council would request that we attach. It wouldn't actually be via a condition.
You want to come back?
I would have thought that information ought to be in the condition.
Can we add that into the condition?
Even if the condition was to say they are to seek.
Well, obviously, if they need to relocate a street light, that would have to be done directly with the County Council, with it being on public highway. Not directly with us as the Borough Council, which is why it's attached as an informative rather than a condition.
Councillor Frank James.
On page 17, it says the believed land was purchased by the then owners from the council for it to be maintained as open green space. Why has that been changed?
Page 17.
Yeah. Did they buy it very cheaply? was agreed it was going to be left, or did it buy it at housing price line?
He didn't buy it. He didn't buy it, he was even it because he maintained it.
Okay, thank you.
The comment on page 17 is obviously a comment that's been raised within the neighbour consultation responses have been summarised.
Was it purchased from the council though? Did the council own it previously?
I don't believe so, not before this purchase was.
No. Okay. So it was held by the developer then, presumably, all those years ago?
In any case, the land has been purchased from the previous owner, number one, and any covenant or private agreement about the maintenance of the land is not really a consideration when considering this planning application.
Councillor Beattie.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to ask a question. What is the council's policy, planning policy, on infill within the residential boundary?
Well, this.
Because looking at this, it doesn't fall foul of it. Am I right in thinking so?
The site is located within the Horton settlement boundary, which is considered a sustainable location for residential development, such as this. So the application is considered acceptable in principle for a new dwelling in this location.
And again?
I'd like to propose that we approve this application.
Did you? You did have an indication to refuse from Councillor Kenny, but no one seconded that, or I didn't call it.
It would need a reason as well. We couldn't use that it sets a precedent for some reason. It's got to be on the impact of this particular application.
Okay. So it is proposed to approve.
Seconded.
And that's been seconded. Would you like to take that vote? All those who support that view to approve this application show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Mr. Chairman.
And those against?
1, 2, 3, 4 against.
The application is approved. Thank you. Thank you for your patience. We now move to the next planning application, which is planning application number 2337324, land adjacent to 26 St. Peter's Gardens, Moss Pit, Stafford, in the ward of Penkside, called in by Councillor Cook. Presentation?
A couple of updates before I start the presentation.
Sorry, Chair, I'm afraid I cannot hear what's being said in the process.
Sorry.
We've got a couple of updates on this application. First of all, some updates. The report that's in the agenda states that there's been 10 neighbour responses. In fact, there's now been 10. The additional neighbour responses cover similar matters to the letters we've already received. We've also, since the agenda was printed, received a response from the Stafford Borough Council Community Safety Team, who want to make the following comment on the application. I shall read it out. It says, the Community Safety Team have an open case of antisocial behaviour in relation to the existing assisted living bungalows adjacent to this proposal, and they're working closely with the care provider to address these issues. It's just been brought to our attention also that on page 29 of the agenda, that about a third of the way down, there's a sentence which says that there's a residential shed and access for property number 4, the Brandons. Apparently this is incorrect.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll start the presentation. This application relates to a site off St Peter's Gardens in Stafford. The application proposes to demolish a set of 12 garages and construct a pair of semi-detached assisted living bungalows. The development of 8 assisted living bungalows was granted planning permission in 2021, and these units are sited immediately adjacent to the application development site. The care provider for the bungalows supports people who have learning disabilities and or mental health issues, enabling them to live in their own homes. The existing site, approved in 2021, accommodates staff accommodation. The proposed 2 additional bungalows under the current application would be incorporated into the existing scheme of one care facility. So the existing site office would accommodate controls for fire alarm, security equipment, and the welfare and office space on the existing site is considered adequate to operate the additional units. The layout of the proposal is similar to that approved on the adjacent site. And the layout, design and appearance are considered to be acceptable, and due to the single story nature of the proposal, it's not considered that they would result in any loss of privacy to the neighbouring properties. So the first plan, we've got the red edge of the development site, which takes its access from St Peter's Gardens. We've also got an aerial view. The site immediately to the east of the red edge is the site, the existing site, which accommodates 8 bungalows approved in 2021. So we've got three photographs looking in towards the site. You can see the garages to be demolished within the red edge there, and the existing development of 8 bungalows are located to the east of the existing red edge. So photo 1 is looking south into the application site. Again, we can see the garages on the right hand side of the photograph. The existing development of bungalows is basically looking at that photograph to the left hand side of that roadway. The houses you can see in the distance to the rear of the photograph are situated on the Brandons, which is located off School Lane. Photograph 2 shows part of the application site to the left of the photograph. It shows the roof line and the end of the garages to be demolished as part of the application. And the property you can see there on the photograph is number 26 St Peter's Gardens. Again, we've got 26 St Peter's Gardens on this photograph, and that photograph shows the relationship of this property with the garaging, which you can see in that photograph, which would be demolished as part of this application. So the first plan shows, again, the extent of the red edge boundary site, the site connection to St Peter's Road. The proposed bungalows are to be sited towards the rear of the site, with 4 parking spaces to the front. To the east of the application site, you can see on that plan the existing development of 8 bungalows. And as previously mentioned, the proposal would be incorporated within this existing scheme to provide one facility. A new secure entrance will be provided to the entire site, so you can just about see there's some gates marked just close to the parking spaces north of the proposed bungalows. Plan 2, this essentially just shows how the site would be landscaped, which is the same as the already developed 8 bungalows on the adjacent site, which is basically paving and slabs and tarmac and a small area of planting. Plan 3 shows the proposed elevations. You can see that the proposed bungalows are a simple design, comprise 1 bedroom, living room, kitchen and bathroom. The call-in reason and a number of concerns raised by local residents relate to noise and antisocial behaviour. The applicants have provided information stating that they've engaged with local residents to tackle complaints. And as mentioned prior to the start of the presentation, the Stafford Borough Council safety team are also working closely with the care provider to address these issues. The recommendation is to approve subject to a financial contribution for the Cannock Chase SAC.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you. We have a speaker in objection to the application of Mr. Toby Wilde. Thank you. Make yourself at home. When you start speaking, the 3 minutes begin, and we'll give you a shout when you're 2 minutes into it. Thank you.
I just a quick introduction. I'm Toby Wilde, 30 St. Peter's Gardens, but I'm here on behalf of residents of St. Peter's Gardens, the Brandons, and the schoolmates, as a large group of residents of the community. Our main objection is due to the noise disturbances and the antisocial behaviour that we've all been subjected to, persistent and ongoing disturbances, and the impact it's having on residents' health and well-being, young families and children in the area, and our ability to safely and peacefully enjoy our properties and surrounding areas. Countless incidents as recorded and reported by multiple residents, to the point that many of us feel we can't use our gardens or allow our young children to play outside because of the foul language, the aggression, the racist language, the disturbing behaviour that we frequently have been subjected to. Being a significant increase in police incidents since the original facilities opened, we're concerned about exacerbation of all of these issues. 16 police incidents in the last 12 months, prior to that there was two. It brings into question for me the suitability of the facilities and the type of provision being offered here. The residents, and I personally believe the planning committee have been misled about the nature of the developments, listed and persistently referred to as assisted living. Is in fact supported living, very different type, materially has a very different impact on the local area, on the residents, because of the parking, the staffing levels, the noise and the behaviours that I've already discussed. And we weren't able to properly engage on the matter because we were misled as to the nature of the developments. Impact on local parking, so the resident parking bays, despite having parking on the site, the staffing levels are higher than would have been expected, so staff are parking in the residential parking, insufficient parking on site to accommodate the levels of staffing there, and the application doesn't reflect this or sufficiently address it. Recent incidents of violence and criminal damage, seriously concerned that residents of the facilities are posing safeguarding risk to young people and vulnerable adults in the community.
One minute to go.
And whilst we are all attempting to positively engage with aspirations for care providers to deal with these issues, their communication has been very poor. Their meetings have been scheduled, but residents have not been informed of them. Agendas have been set by aspirations care with no engagement with the community, no visibility or input from residents. Minutes of the meetings have been taken but not shared until in fact today, and we finally got a copy. It feels like to us the engagement is very much a superficial tick box exercise.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may stay there if you wish or go back.
What's the board then?
Yes, okay. Councillor Cook, would you like to come forward? Thank you. Sure, I don't need to remind you of the rules. 5 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this is the wrong development in the wrong place. And an extension of the development will further create a rod for the council's back in terms of complaints from local residents. There have been lots of complaints recently in this, what was, a peaceful, stable, quiet area of Stafford. It is not like that now, and neighbours are furious about that. Neighbours have been sympathetic and are sympathetic to the people who are living in this area, in this development. But they have been subjected to very poor behaviour, including screaming and shouting at all times of the day and night, and the use of racist, including the N-word, sexist, and obscene, downright obscene language. The development, as you can see there, is adjacent to a number of houses, with back gardens at St. Peter's Gardens and the Brandons. We haven't heard much about that. That road is also very close, adjacent to this development. And such language can be heard clearly, loudly and clearly by residents who are using their back gardens with friends and relatives, and that includes young children and elderly people. They are being subjected to this sort of noise and disturbance. I'm quite sure you wouldn't like that in your back garden if you were trying to enjoy a peaceful afternoon or evening. Residents have therefore been monitoring what has been going on. They've been completing monitoring forms and returning them together with video material and audio material to the council's antisocial behaviour team. The ASB team are well aware of the situation. They have a number of open cases which they are pursuing with people and with, of course, the proprietors, the owners. I have to say, in the comments that they've submitted to this committee, they're a masterpiece of bureaucraties and officialies. It's opaque, and it really doesn't tell the matter as it is. Well, if the extension to this development is approved, it will only exacerbate an already very difficult situation for the neighbours. I would actually implore the committee not to make a decision, until a site visit has taken place, and the committee can see for themselves how close adjacent homes and gardens are to the development, especially when people are shouting, screaming and yelling. I would also add, Chairman, the previous application and this present one is for assisted housing. Although the present application does make a brief mention of supportive housing, the planning officer seems to be using the terms interchangeably, but they're actually two different beasts. And I've done a search on the internet on this, and assisted housing is there to help residents with such day-to-day life things as bathing and washing and sorting out food and making sure they take their medication and all that sort of stuff.
One minute, Councillor.
Okay. The average age is 87 years. Supportive housing is for people with learning disabilities, autism, mental health needs, behaviours that may challenge, complex needs, acquired brain injuries, forensic needs, and Prader-Willi syndrome. Don't go down there, sadly I did. It's really not very pleasant reading. But they are the people catered for. And they are the people who are in the accommodation. Well, that's supported housing, not assisted housing. And therefore, what we could do, of course, is have the Merchant of Venice case. You asked for assisted housing, we have given you planning permission for assisted housing, but now we're going to enforce it. And if you've had supported housing, well, you've done the wrong thing. You asked for assisted, we've given you assisted, that is what we want. Like a pound of flesh, not an ounce more, not an ounce less.
Thank you, I must ask you to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you. Who wants to open the batting? Councillor Reid.
Can we clarify the needs of the people this scheme was intended for, is intended for currently? We've got this discussion about supported living, which actually, in my understanding, is a lower care. The lower care level offered to clients of schemes like that. So, for instance, you would expect less staffing in a supported living establishment. compared to an assisted living establishment. But in fact, people with the need she mentioned, councillor, could end up in assisted living schemes as well, because they also age, of course. So I, from the descriptions that have come, have been mentioned, my question is this a challenging behaviour unit rather than a supported living unit? Is that what Aspiration is running? Are they running, is the sort of descriptions of the behaviours that are happening are not what you'd expect for a supported living scheme, or not what I'd expect for an assisted living scheme either? So why isn't Aspiration here, given the level of complaint, why isn't Aspiration here to explain further? Because there seem to have been problems with communicating with the people who are here today to complain.
Thank you. Councillor Frank James.
Thank you. Thinking of what Councillor Fookus noted, that the any of us who know the area, it is a very close knitted area, and I do know reports of bad behaviour, being involved with the post office club not too far away. And the situation is, I think, it's something this committee should go and see, because it is something which you have to be, you can look at that picture, it doesn't give you anything. You need to be there and feel that what these people are going through.
Thank you.
I'm proposing a site visit.
Okay. Councillor Tony Nixon.
I'll second that, and I think the applicant ought to be, when we have this aside, if it's voted for, should be invited to attend here and explain themselves why they haven't done something about the behaviour in the past.
So, Chairman, the debate now should be about whether a site visit is needed or not.
So it has been proposed and seconded. Take a vote on the site visit.
Anyone wish to comment on whether a site visit is needed or not?
Would you like to comment, Councillor Phillips?
I would. I would agree on a site visit. I spent many years working in a centre where we had head injury patients, and I actually had a friend who also had a severe head injury. No two are the same. You do have some people with issues relating to their thought patterns and their vocal comments not matching up. They can be very sexual in the vocabulary, racist in the vocabulary, although that's obviously not the kind of people that they are. A lot of shouting, etc., also going on. And when my heart goes out to anybody who has found themselves in a situation where they're having to deal with an injury such like that, as I understand, is possibly one of the type of patients that could be in the supported living. I also understand how horrific this could be for anybody living in the near vicinity and earshot of such a place. And they're needed. They're seriously needed. But it is, as the councillor said, a case of it being the right place in the right vicinity, the right kind of building in the right vicinity. And I feel that this may be of a similar thing. And I absolutely think that we need to go out and visit the site and see where the proximity is, and just witness, if that is the case, some of the things that the neighbours are having to deal with and live with on a day-to-day basis.
Just before we go to Councillor Spencer.
Yes, sorry, just to clarify, rather than going into the merits of the actual application, if going on a site visit, you want to save that debate to the other meeting. So purely at the moment, we need to debate what you would gain from a site visit and whether that's necessary or not. Because if it's not, we continue the debate today.
Okay. Councillor Spencer.
I would like to say that I feel that the situation is there's already problems, antisocial behavioural there with the eight. And we're almost discussing the people that are going to be in the development, not the new proposed development itself. because the issue is already there with the development that's there and it's on its own.
Yeah.
So would adding two additional bungalows actually worsen or lessen the situation that's already existing?
I mean, we are speaking now about the merits or otherwise of the site visit.
I'm thinking, would a site visit actually be required?
Councillor Kenny?
Yeah, policy C3 of the Bradford Staffing Project supports the provision of specialist housing within sustainable locations. I think it's probably essential that we do have a site visit to see whether or not it's sustainable anymore or whether or not it would be over intensive in that area.
Thank you. Councillor Reid?
The problem with a site visit is that the behaviour of the people, of the residents of the scheme, might not happen when you visit, so you won't have a clue what's happening. What you need to know is what the organisation says the care ought to be provided, the residents, the nature of the resident group that they have currently, what their plan is to deal with the issues that people are going through now. I'm hearing that there hasn't been very good communication, but I just want to say, a site visit, you can look at the buildings and it will be all quiet and nothing will happen.
We don't know that. Councillor Beattie?
Can I ask a question in terms of the site visit? Has the principle been established that this is a sustainable location because approval's already been given?
So obviously it's within Stafford, it's within the settlement boundary in Stafford, and we have already approved the 8 units that we've just been discussing that are causing the antisocial behavioural issues. So I think, you know, it's fair to say it is a sustainable location, but I think there's obviously wider issues here to discuss in terms of whether the additional 2 units, which is what we're specifically looking at for this application, are acceptable in planning terms.
Well, I agree with the site visit in this circumstance.
Okay, so we'll take a vote on site visit. It's being proposed by... Who was it who proposed it?
So, Chairman, just to clarify, the reasons for the site visits are to look at the proximity of the current application to
sustainability,
neighbouring.
Yes.
Okay. So, Councillor Frank James proposed and seconded by Councillor McNaughton.
And also whether there's an issue of intensification.
Yes. So we'll take a vote on the site visit. Everyone in favour or otherwise, please show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Mr. Chairman.
Any against? Okay, site visit will happen. And I think it's important that we at least invite the operator Aspirations to be at the next meeting, following that site meeting. And very disappointing that they're not here tonight, to be fair. So a site visit it will be. Councillor Phillips.
I do have a few concerns about them being there. I understand that there is a need. However, I'd like to think that maybe nothing is going to be put into... I hope that they're not going to prevent the current residents from behaving in a way that they would ordinarily behave in because they're aware that we're about to visit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I get that, but at least we'll go and see for ourselves. So thank you all for that.
Just come, they could all go out for the day.
Yeah, well, I think we would see that one.
We're going on a site visit. We'll see what we see, and we'll know what we know from what the residents have said, and we put the two together.
That's the reason. It's fact finding. That's why we go on a site visit. Okay, thank you very much for that. A date to be set. We now move on to appeals. If you intend to go, go quietly. If you intend to stay, we won't be long. We'll go to page 38, new appeals lodged, 39, decided appeals. Sorry, again?
We can't hear you properly.
Sorry. Okay. If you'd like to have a discussion outside, you can do. Yeah. Right, so page 38, appeals decided, Page 39, appeals decided. And with that, there's the background to those decisions on page 40, 41, and 42, and 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, and 48, 49.
Can we just go back to 44, please? So the appeal was allowed and planning permission granted. And it says preliminary matters, the appeal follows the council's failure to determine the application within the period, prescribed period. So has that had any bearing on this appeal, specifically on this appeal? The length of time that it's taken?
So an applicant can apply for non-determination if the council don't make a decision on an application within the normal time period for an application, which is usually 8 weeks or 13 weeks. So in this case, a decision hadn't been made on the application and a non-determination appeal was submitted. So it doesn't, it would just be assessed by the inspectorate in the normal way.
And the council would have recommended refusal. On page 44.
Yeah, I mean, it does say that we would have refused planning permission if we'd actually determined the application. Once a non-determination appeal is submitted, we then can't do any further work on that application. So I suspect the officer may have looked at the application, come to the conclusion it wasn't acceptable, but the decision wasn't actually issued.
So can I through you, Chairman, can I ask what, do we know what the costs to us are going to be as a result of that? And if we have any more waiting in the wings?
I don't think there was any cost claim. If there was a cost claim, it would be with this appeal decision.
Councillor Spencer?
Just back to what Councillor Burst has said, how many other applications are there like this?
Non-determination? Mm-hmm. We don't get that many, actually. I think non-determination appeals can take quite a long time, so I think from an applicant's point of view, it could take longer to go through the non-determination process than actually just to wait for the decision. We get a few, but we don't get many. I don't know exact numbers, but we don't get many. I've never dealt with one. So.
Okay, any more? We've got, I think up to page 48. And that is the end of the road. If anyone has anything else they want to say now, or I'll call the meeting to a conclusion. Thank you very much for your attendance and your input. Thank you.